that you're here, because you said that you would not leave us nor forsake us. And Father, we believe, as your prophet said, your pillar of fire is leading us into the millennium. Therefore, Father, we believe your pillar of fire is still here, which represents your presence, because the pillar of fire represents the Shekinah presence. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to this understanding, and by this understanding we hold firm. And so, Father, we pray that you would continue to change our minds, transform us, Father, by the renewing of the mind, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last week we spoke a couple messages on the church rejecting the Word and squeezing out the life of the Word. And we showed how that the cares of this life have entered into the church, and the people have lost their heart for the Word of God, because they have become soft, and they have lost their focus on God's Word in favor of focusing on the cares of this life. Now, this morning I would like to examine close paragraph 136 of Brother Branham's sermon, The Masterpiece. And if you'll open your booklets that you have with me to paragraph 136, let's go ahead and read. Notice he says, notice here, the life that was in the husk, in the stalk, and in the tassel, in the husk, all gathered in the seed. And the life that was in the stalk, one went to make up the other. Justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection, back to the Word again, to manifest itself. But what denominated dies. Like life in Luther went to make Wesley, and from the Wesley it went to Pentecost, and from Pentecost to make the original seed. On to Pentecost comes out of Wesley until that time. The reason that Pentecost come out of Wesley, because it has no denomination. Pentecost was. Then Pentecost went to denominate, and what did it do? It turned back to the husk. It looked like the real thing. Now, there's three important statements that Brother Brown makes here that I'd like to review this morning. First, he said the life that was in the husk, in the stalk, and in the tassel, in the husk, all gathers in the seed. Now, if the life that was in the husk and tassel moves into the seed, then it must be apparent that that life has moved out of those other parts of the wheat. For the life that was in the root is the same life that makes the stem. And when that life moves up the plant, it moves into the tassel. And as it moves, as it keeps moving up, it moves into the husk and finally into the seed again. And notice when the life is fully in the seed, the husk dries up and it splits open and it spits out the seed to the earth, where the whole process begins anew and over again. Then as it began by a seed, it ends by a seed. The Alpha has become the Omega. The life that was manifested in the seed form in the beginning is a life form seed in seed form at the end. The first and the last is the same. The same life expressed in the beginning is the same life that is expressed at the end. That's why it's got to come back to obedient sons. Because Jesus was that seed that went into the ground. And he showed us, he demonstrated obedient sons. Now this leads up to the next thing that Brother Branham said here. And the life that was in the stalk, one went to make the other. Justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection, back to the Word again, to manifest itself. And it's very apparent in what Brother Branham is saying here, that there's a difference between the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost itself. Notice Brother Branham said that the one makes way for the other. Look, he also told us that the rapture, in the rapture sermon, that the rapture is a process that began in Luther, which was represented in the seed coming forth from the ground. Notice under Rome, the seed church, the Alpha church, was martyred, and the seed went into the ground in martyrdom. Then when the civil Rome became papal Rome under Constantine, the seed of God lay in darkness, which is represented as a seed being buried in the ground where no light shines or shines brightly. In other words, the light almost went out entirely. They call that in history the Dark Ages. What light does penetrate the earth through, it warms the soil, and as the soil is warmed, the heat began to break down the seed's outer shell, and then as the soil is watered, the seed begins to germinate. So, you see, it took a special unction of the Holy Ghost to to actually begin moving. The Holy Ghost began to move. Martin Luther wasn't the first to come forth in the Reformation as a reformer. There was others. There was many others. John Huss, 100 years before him, was preaching the same thing. But see, as that watering, the washing of water by the Word, begin to come forth, now life starts to come. And that seed starts to come up, and it came up in Luther. Now, watering the seed in the earth is a doctrine. Because God said in Deuteronomy 32 that His doctrine shall fall as the rain. So God likened His doctrine to rain. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2 says, My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. So we see that God's doctrine is likened to the rain that comes down from heaven, and it brings the tender herb and grasses to life. And this life that comes because of the doctrine, the rain, is a blessing from God. We find in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 7, For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So notice it says that the rain comes often. So the doctrine was coming forth even before Martin Luther. You had John Huss preaching the just shall live by faith. That wasn't his motto, but he was preaching by faith and not by works. Many men rose up that were doing the same, and yet they were all burnt at the stake, you see. But they were watering. And now comes forth Martin Luther, who catches the hold of this, and he begins to preach. And as he's coming forth, the life is coming out, and the little thing is coming out of the Dark Ages, and we have a Reformation beginning. And the Dark Ages actually were considered to have ended with Martin Luther. Not only did he bring forth Reformation in the church, but he brought forth the German Bible. He put the German language into print, and also they said that he was the author of many, many other fine works. So you see how Enlightenment began to come back. So we see then that when doctrine comes in, it will manifest both kinds of seed life, twins. The doctrine will bring to life whatever the seed's nature is, its true nature. If the seed is not a seed of God, the doctrine will expose that. And if it is a seed of God, the doctrine, the rain, will cause the seed of God to manifest that it is a seed of God. That is what water does to the plant. When the plant is watered and receives light upon that watering, it has to expose what nature is in the seed. For Genesis 1 and verse 11 says, Every seed will bring forth after its kind. That's God's law of reproduction. It's called the law of life. Therefore, notice what God said in Hebrews chapter 6. He said, After the rain comes, then that which bringeth forth herbs, meat, that means it is appropriate for them by whom it is dressed. In other words, the guy that dresses the soil and plants a certain crop, it is appropriate when the seed begins to come forth after it rains, that it'll come forth the nature of the seed that he planted. In other words, if he plants watermelon, he's going to get watermelon. If he plants mustard seed, he'll get mustard. If he plants wheat, he's going to get wheat. So it's appropriate when you get what you sowed for. Now, that is what he's saying here. And it also says that shows it is blessed by God, because it is the law of life, the law of reproduction. According to Genesis 1:11, every seed shall bring forth after its kind. And so when it comes forth into manifestation, it receiveth blessings from God. But notice then, what if it comes up, or that which comes up is not what the Son of Man sowed? Remember, the Son of Man came forth sowing seed. Somebody else came behind him sowing other seed. What if the rain comes down upon the soil and all it produces is rather twisted and prickly sort of nature? Then what? But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So watch yourself. If you have a nature that has come forth under the rain, which is the doctrine of God, and it just wants to find fault with everything that everyone does, you had better be praying that you are not that seed which is nigh unto cursing. Because this doctrine will produce twins. The revival of God's Word, every revival produces twins. That's what Brother Branham said. If you find that you've got a nature that just wants to pick all the time, you better get a dose of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is a dove. It's not a wolf. From blind Bartimaeus, Brother Branham said, every revival produces twins. The two sons of Isaac is well represented. Every time there's a revival, there's an Esau born and a Jacob born. One religious man of the world, he gets starchy. And he takes some seminary experience, and the other man wants that birthright regardless of how he has to get it. If he has to be a holy roller or anything else, he wants that birthright. I don't care. That's what's the matter with the people today. They're afraid of that birthright. Oh, how they hate that. But it produces twins, the men of the world, very religious, inclined, do good alms and things, but cares nothing about the birthright. Those two great factions has been fighting since the world began, and they're about ready to come to a head right now, where something that Jesus said, that they'd be so close that they'd deceive the very elected if it was possible. It's true. You see what a deceiving hour that we're living in. Stay with that word, brother. Don't leave that word. That's right. The word will speak for itself. And from power of transformation, he said, there's always twins, and that's the reason, don't forget this little flock, the church in the last days is going to be twins, so close that it would deceive the very elected. Matthew 24:24. See? The church is going. It's a Pentecostal move. It's so much like the real thing, till it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. And a little later on, if I get a chance, I want to explain what and how that election comes. See? It's going to deceive them because it's almost like the same thing. See? Just two fathers, that's all. Same mother, same church, same movement, same everything. The betting ground is the same where the word falls. But one of them, like here, is perverted. You understand? Say amen if you did see it. See, one of them is a perversion because it's the wrong father, which I will prove someday if God will let me. That denomination is the mark of the beast. See, it's a wrong father. It's steering people to an organization instead of to the word. See, it's wrong. It's a wrong father. It's a Cain move. So Brother Branham says basically then what he's laying out is that, look, if you're drawn to the word, you're God's seed. If you're drawn to organization, big church, big programs, lots of frill, if that's what draws you, he said, then you're the other seed. You see, the seed of God will always go to the word wherever they can get it, and doesn't matter if anybody else is there with you. You're there because you're hungering for the word. You're there because your soul is feeding from the word. A lot of people just go to churches where they think that there's going to be a crowd. A lot of the churches today, you see in the message, the reason why they get big is because they have youth programs. And then people fearing for their children, they start compromising themselves on the word, and they go to those churches where there's a youth movement. Since when has God ever dealt with a youth movement? Jesus was 30 years old before God even called him to his ministry. John the Baptist, 30 years old before God called him to his ministry. Many of the prophets were 60, 70, 80 years old. Moses was 80 years old before God called him to his ministry. So we forget the youth movements. It's not nothing to do with the youth movement. It's a God movement. It's the pillar of fire moving and people following it. So we see then that the wrong seed is being steered toward organization while the seed of God is moving into the word. That's the difference. And that is why I am so careful not to be too organized, because you can organize yourself right into organization if you're not careful. And the tares represent organization, which Jesus said were to be bound into bundles. And now these bundles cannot be made just in a haphazard approach. A bundle is a well thought out, organized approach, where every stick in the bundle must be uniform in size and all must be going in the same direction. Yes, they must be facing the same direction and be uniform in size, and thus they make up a certain denomination. That's what denomination is all about. Everybody's got the same thing. You know, everybody thinks the same thing. Everybody says the same thing. It's called group speech or group think. God's not coming for a group think. He's coming for individuals that can receive his mind. Now, I'm getting back to what Brother Bram's saying here. He says, the life that was in the stalk went one went to make the other. So you see the life in the Catholic Church laying there in the Dark Ages, during the Dark Ages, that same life went to bring forth Luther's message, the just shall live by faith. And then when Luther left, and you say, well, how did that happen? Because they had gone so far the other direction. All Luther had to do is start reading the Bible. When he started reading the New Testament and the Old Testament, because they didn't have it translated into the vernacular of the day. So he had to learn Latin first. And when he learned Latin first, then they gave him a Bible. After I don't know how many years in the seminary, finally they gave him a Bible to read. When he began to read the Bible, he said, well, wait a minute, that's not what we believe. And God started to free his soul from what he read. So you see the life in the Catholic Church, laying there in darkness during the Dark Ages, that same life went to bring forth Luther's message, that just shall live by faith. And then when Luther left, those men organized themselves around what he taught. And then when they denominated that message, the life left it and went to make up Wesley's message. Everyone who is a student of the Church Ages knows that Wesley was a total failure, although he always did have the same zeal to preach the word, but nobody wanted to hear him. Then one day he heard a minister read from Martin Luther's preface to his book on the Romans. And when he heard the truth about justification, he suddenly received a warming inside and a new birth. Then when he began to preach what Luther preached, he began with that, and when God opened his heart to further light, he was ready to receive it and to preach it. But he had to go back to where Luther was in order to move forward. Thus, as Brother Branham said, justification made a way for sanctification. And it took the people to receive the message of Wesley for them to also turn a corner and move into a further and fuller individual walk with God in the baptism of the Spirit. And thus, sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So you see, the Wesleyan message dealt with a man cleaning up his life so that God would fill it. And when men began to teach this, they began to seek the filling of the Spirit. Had they not understood justification, that the just shall live by faith, they would not have known how to present their bodies as a living sacrifice, as Paul said in Romans 12. They would have preached a legalistic message, and it wouldn't have done them any good. Because Paul said in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, not by the judgment of God, but by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the NIV says that this reasonable service is your spiritual act of worship. So you see, those who are spiritual will present their bodies to God to be a living sacrifice to Him. Now contrast that to the make-believer who might be able to talk it, but will never live it because it's not alive to him. And he's not alive to it. Then Brother Branham said the baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection, back to the Word again, to manifest itself. Now this is where those many who claim to follow the message have come up short. And this tells us that people have stopped at the Pentecostal message and haven't come into the full Word of the hour, which is to recognize that Brother Branham's ministry was to declare Christ that He's here. And this is where the contention has come into the message, because the masses refuse to believe that this is the message. So they wallow away in the Pentecostal ideas and ideals and have missed the message entirely. Brother Branham said the baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down into perfection, back to the Word again to manifest itself. So the perfection is back to the Word again to manifest itself. So, if the Holy Ghost has come down in perfection, then what is a perfection? Well, Brother Brown gave us the answer in Questions and Answers in 1964. He said, 1 Corinthians 13 says that when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So, all these little things of jumping up and down like a kid, trying to talk in tongues, all these other things, when that which is perfect, and we have today, by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the Word with divine vindication, then that which is in part is done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. I go to preaching and then don't get these things. Okay. Now, in closing, we want to look at still one more thing that Brother Branham said from paragraph 136 of the Masterpiece. He said, but what denominated, it dies. Life in Luther went to make Wesley, and from Wesley it went to make Pentecost, and from Pentecost to make the original seed. Onto Pentecost comes out of Wesley until that time. And the reason that Pentecost came out of Wesley, because it was no denomination, Pentecost was. Pentecost went to denominate, and what did it do? It turned to the husk. It looked like the real thing. And then what happened? It dried up. As soon as it began to denominate, there it died, is what he said. Now from his sermon called Seed Does Not Err with a Shuck, Brother Branham was talking about how that Sarah tried to make the promise happen by giving her concubine to Abraham, thinking that that would fulfill the promise that God had made to Abraham. And that is how carnal believers always think. They do not trust for God to work out His own promises, because they really don't trust His Word. So they try to work for themselves, and in doing so, they always miss the promise. That is what Brother Branham was saying in a sermon. Seed is not air with the shuck. Now remember, Abraham had waited 25 years for the promise, and the promise was him and Sarah shall conceive. And he talked about this son God was going to give him. He kept talking about it all the time. Well, he was getting 99 years old. She felt sorry for the old man. Even when they got their body changed, she felt sorry for him. She said, you know, we've gone all these years, 25 years without, why don't you just take my concubine, or my maid here? Why don't you just take her? And then you can fulfill God's promise by doing it with her. That wasn't the promise. The promise was between him and Sarah. But you see how people can't wait on God. They've got to say, well, you know, I know that this is what I want. This is what the promise of God is for me. But maybe if I can just push a few things together, we'll make it happen. How many times you find in business, they say, make it happen. That's the way of the world. Make it happen. You don't make anything happen. You make bigger mistakes. You make people angry. You make a lot of things wrong when you try to make it happen. Learn to just let go and let God. After you have patiently waited, then you receive the promise. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And Brother Branham said that they that wait gets the promise. You see? Don't try to force things. Just let it come. From a sermon called A Seed is Not Air with a Shuck, Brother Branham said, how true it is. Sarah trying to get the promise all fulfilled. You see? In a great, like the churches today, a great revival in our time. By what? By a perverted promise. How are you going to do it when God never did bless organizations? He never did use an organization. When a message went forth and they organized it, it died right there. I challenge any historian to show me where it ever raised up again. It died right there and it stayed right there. God just moved right on out of that carrier into another one. Right on out of the Lutheran unto the Methodist. Right out of the Methodist into the Pentecostal. Now he's moved right out of the Pentecostal into the seed, because it has to be the seed. You can't beat nature. There's no nothing else there for it to happen but the seed. So the seed will produce itself. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same pillar of fire showing the same signs, the same power, the same God, the same miracles, the same things, vindicated the Word and the Bible just exactly. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's leading tonight. God help us to see it and to believe it, sure. And from Jehovah Jireh, Brother Ram said, what happened to Luther? As soon as Luther saw the pillar of fire, why, he followed it. But what did he do? After Luther's day, they organized a church called Lutheran. Then it died right there on the organization. Because it's just like the Catholic Church. Then the first thing that you know, along come Wesley, the pillar of fire moved right out of the organization and went on. And Wesley saw it, and away he went after it. And as soon as the first round died out, they organized it, called it Wesleyan Methodist, or the Methodist Church. And when they organized it, it died right there. Then the Pentecostals seen it going out, not from justification under Luther and sanctification under Wethy, but they saw the baptism of the Holy Ghost back to the original blessing, and here they went after it. Oh my! Went out and began to speak with tongues and the power of God working through them. But what did they do? They organized it, and it died right there. But now the pillar of fire is moving out. It's moving again. And it'll never. Never one time did an organization ever rise up that didn't die and never come back again. I challenge any historian. And so you see, the minute that men begin to talk of organizing the message or organizing the doctrine of Christ, that's the minute that they die right there. And the pillar of fire will move right on. And those who gravitate toward organization will miss the rapture. It will be over very soon, my brother. So be very careful not to organize what God is doing. Just let go and let God. God wants to have His way, and He will have His way. Now let's follow through with what Brother Branham's saying here, because he really nails down the attitude that lets you know that the attributes and characteristics of organization. Brother Branham continues in Jehovah Jireh. He says, I'm looking into the face there of one of the best there is in the nation. That's right. A historian of the historians is sitting right with us. And I'll ask the man or any other man to ever show me one time that the church ever organized, but it didn't die and stay dead. It never did rise again. In the history of the churches of the world, it never did. God don't want that. God wants us to be free in Him. He wants us to place to a place where He can, where we can accept all that is of God. Not say, on this mountain, move out, Abraham's seed. Now you say, you're against organization? No, sir, organization is all right. But you draw a boundary line and cut everybody out but the fellow that don't believe just like you. The thing we got to do is stretch out our arms to the Lutheran, to the Methodist, and to all, to a place where we can have fellowship one with another while the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Till we get to that, we'll just die. Sit right here and shrivel up like an old shriveled up apple. And there you become as puckery as a persimmon. And sit around and, well, I belong to so-and-so, or, oh my, no more life coming into it, you see? We just can't do that. No, we've got to come and be in Christ. We're heirs, joint heirs with Him. Now till we separate ourselves from the things of the world. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, may we never get to the place where we set ourselves apart from any brother who would like to have fellowship with us. And for those who walk in the light, as you are walking in the light, we know the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses them from all sin and cleanses us. And we know that sin is unbelief. Therefore, Father, it cleanses them from unbelief. Help us, Father, to be a guiding light to others, that they might have fellowship with us as we fellowship with You. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make His face shine to you.